I saw something new from Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal. Stuck at Devarim Leiron in defining what is davening. We all think of davening is that we come to ask for our needs. Well, that's rachim. And to a certain extent, sometimes many of us could feel, well, I don't have too many needs. Right now, Baruch Hashem, I have everything. And that, in some way, even though it's a mistake, and we'll get to that, Be'ezer Hashem, but in some way that makes us disconnect from davening. Because if I don't have what I need to ask for, so Mamela, you don't feel that you have anything from davening. Rav Aaron Kotler says, Amoyri Tikazach. It's a Mishnah of Aaron. He writes, Yesoid Inyan HaTfila, the foundation of what tefillah is, Shaniya Kshurim Laboyre, we get connected, attached to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Upoinu Meilov, we turn to him, Vinakir Ka'kol Mimenu, we recognize everything's from him, Valyidei HaTfilah, through tefillah, Mishtareshes HaKarazu, it becomes rooted inside us, this recognition, the idea that everything is from Hashem. And he brings down, we're Olameinu Hu Olam Asiya, we're a world of Asiya. Therefore, everything in this world always needs the Maisa. It has to be made into a tangible action. So all the great Hakara that we might have, that Hashem is in charge, Ein Olam Vada, there's nothing but Hashem, everything comes from Hashem, it's still not real and tangible. The Olam Asiya, you have to do a Maisa. Where is the Maisa that you do to internalize the Yisoid of Ein Olam Vada? Zokavar and Kotler, if it's an Olam Asiya, you need a Maisa, Tefillah is the Maisa that you're internalizing, that recognition. V'rak al yidei Maisim, Niknis Shleimus, only through an action you get Shleimus, and therefore, Kein hu be'inyan ha-Tefillah, ze'atzmoy ha-Asiya, that's the Asiya, the making and the doing. L'chazik ha-Koras ha-Boyre, in the recognition that we have, to getting close to him and be machni yourself to him. The action, the maisa that we do is the maisa of tefillah. Tefillah is what makes it real in this olam of asiyah. Even if you have all the yediyas, all the knowledge, you have to go do the act of tefillah. And it should be rooted inside your being. This idea, like in everything in this world of Asiya, you have to do a Maisa. This is the Maisa that you do. You know, I was thinking, the Rav from Shemel Amincha came and spoke, and he was ma'ir a very nice point. You know, he said it was takaha, nice ha'ara. He wasn't come to talk about it, he didn't answer the ha'ara. But it was a taka, very interesting ha'ori. He said, you know, in today's world, everything's about amuna. It's daily amuna, weekly amuna, monthly amuna, the dose of amuna, books, videos, everything, amuna all over the place. And yet, he said, if you think that we're in a world of everybody's so busy with amuna, you would walk down the street, you would expect that people have such great recognition of Einoid Mulvadoi. Everybody feels Hashem's presence. There's probably no stress in the world. There's no disappointment in the world. No one ever gets angry in the world. No one's. There must be a perfect world because everybody has so much emunah based on everything that's going on. And yet you look around and it's not like that. People still have stress. They still have disappointments. They still have challenges. They still get angry. They still get disappointment. There's so much. What's the pshat? How does it equal up? That was his horror. He didn't say, I'm not going into this. It's not my discussion now. But that was his horror. I think of Aaron Kotler, we have an answer. Based on what we just said, there's an answer. It's very good that everybody's so busy learning his bainanus with Yediya and Amuna of Einoid Mulvadoi. But now you have to do a Maisa. Where is the Maisa that internalizes it? The Maisa is Tefillah. And let's be honest, most people don't daven. Most people don't daven. You might go to Shul, you might go to a minyan. But how many people are really davening? How many people are really davening? Most people are not doing the Maisa of Tefillah, and therefore, with all the amunah that goes on in the world, If you're missing the Maisa in this Olam of Asiyah, that everything's totally your Maisa, there is no Maisa. So no one ever internalizes all the books and all the videos and all the calling and phone calls, everything they're having from Amuna, 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 but no one ever internalizes it. Because Tefillah is the Maisa in this Olam of Asiyah. You have to do the Maisa of Tefillah. And at most, for some people, it's a lip service. But lip service is not Tefillah either. It's not making davening real. So you go through the motions. Some of us, it's not even lip service. You look around, sometimes people are totally spaced out, half a davening. It's not even a lip service. They're not even moving their lips. Rachman al-Islam. In some places, people roll in, they come out, they're there for a few minutes, yaita. How many people really daven? How many people make tefillah real? If you don't make your tefillah real, you never did that maisa of internalizing Einoid Muvada. And the Emes says, this is the essence of a human being. The essence of a human being is being a mespalel, davening. What do I mean? Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal has a Meirat Dikadiyuk. When Hashem created Adam, in Parshas Bereishis it says, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. He blew into him this nishmas chayim. He became a living being. Everybody knows the famous targum. What does it mean? He blew into him a nishmas chayim, that he became a nefesh chayim. The targum says, leruach b'malo, speaking individual. Zakav Shimon Schwab, I don't understand. Who is Adam speaking to? There's no one around. He's the only creation at this moment. It says, Vayihi, he became a speaking individual. Who, he's talking to himself? Who is he talking to? How can he become a speaking individual if there's no one else in the world? There's no one else around. He was the only creation at this moment. And yet it says he became a speaking individual. There's no one to talk to. Muchach mizeh, says Rosh Hashanah, I see from this, Iker nesinas koyach adibor ba'odom, l'tsoyrich shiedabe in boyri l'tfila. I see that the ikur giving of the power of speech that a person has is to utilize it to speak to Hashem in tefillah. And that Adam Rishon had the ability to do. But otherwise, what does it mean he's a speaking individual? It doesn't make any sense. Elamai, in the creation of Adam, that you became a nefesh chaya, a speaking individual, meant for tefillah. That is the essence of a human being. This is a very frightening line from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, the measuring stick to know where you're holding in the Yiddishkeit is to look how you daven. So is the Chassam Sofer. The Kav HaMedida, Limdoid, Heichon Adam Oiches, B'Madrigosa B'Yiddishkeit. Where am I standing in my Yiddishkeit? Where am I standing in my Judaism? Look how you daven. Your davening is the measuring stick for where you're holding. Very scary thought. We're holding already 4 months in. Counting from Elul, already holding in Kislev. We're 4 months in. 4 months in, did I steig in my davening? Everybody has to ask themselves that question. Did I grow in davening in the last 4 months? If you didn't grow in davening, that means you're telling yourself you didn't grow in your Yiddishkeit. I didn't grow, I didn't steig. Davening is your measuring stick to know where you're holding. And it's a question we all have to ask ourselves. How do I daven? Is my davening real? Am I talking to Hashem for real? If I'm not really davening, what do I have? So what is the opportunity of davening? What do we have when it comes to davening? The Chazon Ish writes in his letters, Chavivim Yisrael, she'ein tzrichim shliach. Call Yisrael so beloved and precious that we don't need any messenger. V'chol bar nash, every human being, b'koichai, has the ability, limtsoi toiv aydei tefillah. We all could get all the goodness that we need in life through davening. V'hatfillah hi mate oiz b'yad kol adam. Tefillah is the rod of strength. It's a power that we carry in our hands. Every human being carries this power. And the Chazon Ish says, Manifla hadover, how awesome it is. Ki b'choltoi shel adam, b'cholos adam, it's the ability of every human being. La'asiyach da'agoysov of the adoin olam. You could tell all your worries and all your concerns before Hashem. Hashem masiyach l'reva, like you shmooze with your friend. The same way you shmooze with your friend, and if you need something from him, whatever it is, you tell him. We have the ability, and Hashem wants us. Mis'ava, he wants it. He desires our tefillah. We have the ability to go before the Rabbeinu Shlolem and talk about all our problems, all our worries, all our concerns, all the help that we need. It's a moiridic thing, says the Chazon Ish, of what we have in the opportunity of davening. I talk a story from Yonis and Eibshitz in Yaris Dvash. He writes, "Bebircha Shema Keleinu." Every single one of us, we daven Shema Keleinu in Shemoneh Esrei. Yosim Kol Megamoisov Lashem, L'spaloloi Al Kol Tzurachov, Afilu Dover Katan Oy Gadol, Lo Yibotzer Dover Mashal Lo Yispaloloi Boy Lashem. There's nothing missing for you. Shouldn't hold back and ask from Hashem. Smallest to the biggest, every little thing that goes on in your life, you have the ability to pour your heart out in Shema Keleinu before the Rabbeinu Shlom. In Tzorech La'asay Shidduch, or L'schayra, business, whatever it is, you could pour your heart before the Rabbeinu Shlom. Kloloi Shal Dover, Ein Dover Mashret, Soinu La'asayz Boi Bayoyim, Mashlo Yispalu La'ashem La'atzlicha. There's nothing that you're planning on doing today you can't present before the Rabbeinu Shalom during your Shacharis, that I need help for it, and Rabbeinu Shalom, please help me out. And he has a whole Arichus. We don't have time to go through the Arichus. You ever watch Taka? If you don't mind. But Akoponim, he writes, Va'af ki l'shoinoi loshen olog. Ve'ena yochel uspalu b'loshen ivri. Even if you're davening, you don't have the ability to say it in Ivri, in Hebrew. You only speak English. Hu chaviv lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even your English talk before Hashem is beloved. Ki ilu hirbo l'spalo b'loshin rechava sofa brura v'ne'ima. And he has a whole arichas describing that you could talk in your own personal language and Hashem is waiting to hear from you. Those precious words that come out of your mouth, even though it's not in Hebrew and it's simple English. Just pour your heart at a sincere tefillah is what Hashem's waiting for. So, Kabbianis and Eibshitz. So, someone once came to Rabbi Yashiv. And they told Rabbi Yashiv, you know, it's very hard for me to get up in the morning. To get up for Shacharis. Shacharis is the main davening that we have for the three tefillahs a day. And Shacharis is first thing in the morning. I'm not a morning guy. It's hard for me to get up. What should I do? This is what he asked Rabbi Yashiv. What did Rabbi Yashiv answer? Rabbi Yashiv said, you're asking for Eitzah, how to get up in the morning? Eitzah? Im yoidim es ha-chashivos, v'ha-erich shel ha-tfilah, if you understood the chashivos, the value of what davening is, if you had a store, you'd get it. No problem getting up in the morning. You have a job. You're making money. You're paid by the hour. Even if it's hard, it's cold in the morning, you're tired, you'd get up anyway. You're getting paid by the hour. You got to be there. So, Rabbi Yashiv, what do you mean you need Eitzah? If you understood what davening is, you'll get up. So the guy who was asking the question responded, I'm not sure. Even if I imagine it's like a store, I don't know. So Rabbi Yashiv repeated himself. If you had a store, you're getting paid by the hour, you would be there. And therefore you have to realize, if You're running a business where all your marviach is kama prutas. You make some money. Get paid even $100 an hour. Tzvila. Im yoydim achashivas, you understand the chashivas of what davening is. You'd realize you're marvichin much more than $100 an hour from your davening. Vadai matzlichim lakum. You'd have no problem getting up in the morning. We trust Rabbi Yashiv for the chumrus shebechumrus. People have real shilas. They went to Rabbi Yashiv for the real shilas. Rabbi Yashiv's telling you, vadai you're going to be matzliach in getting out of bed if you understood what davening is. He's telling us in English, if we have problems getting up for Shacharis, it's because we don't know what davening is about. We have no value for what davening is. We don't know what the opportunity that we have in our hands. The mata oiz, the rod of strength, the Chazanish says, that we carry. We don't know what it is. We don't realize how powerful our words are. We don't really believe that we can make a difference if I daven. Because if we really believed it, says Abel Yashiv, vadai matzlichim lakum. You'd have no problem getting up. I don't care if you're not a morning person, it doesn't matter. A person would have the ability to jump out of bed if he realized what opportunity lies before him coming to Shacharis. So you wondered to yourself, so what is it? Tell me. What opportunity lies in my hands? It's something we have to realize that there's not even a question. There's so many problems in the world today. People have so many suffering, so much suffering. There's so many troubles, so many challenges, so much stress, so many difficulties. In Ikvas of the Mashiach that we're living today, Tzorchi Amchaz, Merubim, the needs of Klal Yisrael, every family knows people in their family that have issues, that have need Yeshuas and Brachas and Atzlochas. Everybody knows neighbors like this and friends like this. Even if in your own personal life you can't think of something you really need. But everybody knows. You got to be blind and deaf not to know of anything. It's impossible. With that in mind, you know what the Medrash says on the Pasuk in Tehillim? It's in Perikei. The Pasuk says, Ki loi kel chafetz resha ota. You're not Hashem who wants bad, that anybody should have suffering. You don't want anybody to have pain. You know what that means? Zok the Medrash, Omar Rav Pinchas, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz, the Rebbeinu Shalom has no wanting, no desire at all, L'chayiv Briya, that anybody should have any issues or any problems. Elo Mavakesh Yispalu Briya Yislofonov Yikavlam. He's just waiting for you to daven. Ask me for what you need, v'yekabli, and I'm going to accept it and give you all the things that you need. Omer Ab Yitzchak, Achshav ein lonu loy navi. We have no navim, loy koyin, loy korban, loy mikdash, loy mizbeach. Mi mechaper aleinu. Who's going to give us the kapara? Loy nishtayr b'yadeinu ela tefila. All that we have is tefila, and tefila does it all. If we come and ask Hashem for anything we're missing, it can even be in learning, in Ruchnius. You have trouble understanding a Rajba. Pour your heart out to the Rebbeinu Shalom by davening. Ask the Rebbeinu Shalom to help you, he'll help you. You have trouble understanding a Mashot, Farish Shmuel, whatever it is. Pour your heart out, he'll help you. Guaranteed. Beruchnius ubegashmius. Whatever it is, there's nothing that we can't ask of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Ki loy kel chofetz resha ota. Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want anybody to have any hardship. Anything that's hard for you, anything that's challenging for you, anything that's difficult for you, Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want you to be going through such hardship and suffering. So what does he want? He wants you to daven. Ask me for help, and I'll help you. You just never ask. Most people go through life, they don't even ask. Shimshon Pinkas, I don't have the Maror Mokum here, but I remember in Shor Tefila, he writes that we don't even realize how many things are waiting at the Pesach of Shemayim, the Shari Shemayim, waiting to come down to you. But you got to open up the gate through tefillah. He says, like there's a basko screaming every day. Just open up the gate and I'll let it come down to you. But you just never open up the gate. Day in, day out, you never daven. This is what Shimshon Pinkas writes in Shorim B'Tefillah. We have to realize the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants everybody to have all the brachas of life, all the yeshuas of life, all the hatzlocha in life. Anything that we don't have, it's because he's waiting for us just to daven for it, and I'll give it to you. And the Zohar HaKadosh, he talks about how much the Rabbeinu Shel Olam loves every single Yid. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parsha Shemois writes, Amar Rab Yehuda, Il Moloi Hava Yodin, B'nei Nosha Rechimusa Derochem Kotchabrichu Yisrael. If every human being would realize how much Hashem loves every Yid, Have shogin kikfiraya lemirdav basrei, would be calling and crying and running after Hashem like this young lion. That's how loud and how much we'd be yearning and running after him. We just don't realize the love that Hashem has for us. We forget how much we're beloved by him. In Zohar HaKadosh, in Tikkuni Zohar, it's brought down, Ki azo kamoves ahava. His love for us is bold like death. Hi ahava shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The love that Hashem has for a Yid. When we say, Aboiche ba'ama Yisrael bi ahava, he chooses us with love. How real and powerful that love is that Hashem has for us. You know, we said a few weeks ago in Slichas, a Mayridika line, we said, Bein kach u bein kach, kruyim banim. We said in Slichas this line that whatever we are, whoever we are, whatever we're doing, at the end of the day, you're children of Hashem. And there's a Mayridika shayla that I saw from Yisrael Salanter. This line that we're saying, Bein kach u bein kach, kruyim banim, it's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Meir. If, when we don't do the ratzon of Hashem, if Beinkach or Beinkach Kru Yil Chabonim. Beinkach or Beinkach Kru Yil Chabonim is Shitas Rameir. We don't pass like Rameir. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So how could we say in Slichas a line that we're children of Hashem no matter what you're doing and who you are? That's Rameir's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Only if you're Oisim Mitzvah Nishal Makam. So I saw brought down from Odessler, the Michtam Elio. Michtam Elio answers that machlokes in the Gemara is all in regard to ourselves, how we should perceive ourselves in Hashem's eyes. How we should perceive ourselves. But you want to know how Hashem sees us? That l'kuli alma, no matter what you're doing, he sees you like children. It's a preferential apostolic, says Rav Dessler. Bonamatam Hashem alakeichem. You're children of Hashem. So of course, benkachu, benkach kri l'chabonim. The whole machlokes there is in your own eyes when you do something wrong, how you should perceive yourself. But in Hashem's eyes, in regard to us, benkach u benkach kri l'chabonim. We have to know, no matter what we do, no matter what madrega we're on, no matter how small we feel in our own eyes, we have to realize we're children of Hashem. Hashem loves every single one of us and he's waiting to help us. We just have to come and ask of him. If we'd open our mouths in tefillah, we'd realize what power we carry. I saw Mori Dika Maisa. Very powerful story. I have to be honest, I literally was crying when I heard this story. Obviously, I'm going to try to control myself. But it's taka powerful story. This Maisa, Rav Avram Mordechai Malach Shlita, said over this story. It happened with him himself. He was one of nine siblings. But he didn't realize the first seven of his siblings was from a different mother. He didn't find out about this till close to his bar mitzvah, that he doesn't share the same mother as the rest of his siblings. The Maisa goes, it was a number of years ago, this is way after he found out obviously already, his older sister called him up and wanted him to listen to a recording. She was brought up as a Yesaima. She lost her mother, his oldest stepsister, the kids are. And she wanted him to listen to a recording that she recorded to give in to an organization that was looking. They were looking for older people that were brought up as Yesaimim to give chizuk. This organization wanted this. So he called in to listen, and he found out this story for the first time when he called in what his older sister asked him to do. She said like this. It was Yud Dalid Menachemov, Tovshin Lamed, 1970, when her mother was Nefteres after a long disease of cancer. And in those days, in 1970, you can imagine there weren't organizations and the help that they have today. It was very, very different than the world today. Her mother was Nefteres, she was the oldest. And they left, her mother left over 7 Yesoimim. The oldest was only 13, and the youngest was 5 years old. Obviously, she said, my 5-year-old little brother didn't come to Levaya and the Kfura. He was too young. We came home. He said, it wasn't easy, the whole Levaya and the Kfura and everything. We came home to begin sitting Shiva. And my 5-year-old brother, who just was in the house at that time, we realized we can't sit Shiva with him around either. We have to send him to Aunt Chveis, Aunt Rachel. We have to send him away. So they told Yankel, the 5-year-old, we're sending you to Aunt Rachel. There's a car waiting outside. So Yankel, who's 5 years old, said, I never leave before I say goodbye to mommy. He was used to going sent away because she went through treatments and everything. So I never leave before I say a gute nacht to mommy. I just want to wait to say goodbye to mommy. And they didn't know what to do. Like, he doesn't even realize mommy's already buried. So they didn't know what to say. He said, I'm going to wait for mommy to come home. And he realized when he said that they didn't seem like mommy's away. All of a sudden, Yankel says, I know mommy's hiding from me. I'm going to go find her. And he starts running through the house, screaming, mommy, mommy. He's looking under the beds, in the closet, all over, mommy. And he's crying hysterical, where's mommy, where's mommy? He's going through the entire house, and this is going on. This sister, Yecheved, who's saying over the story, said, it was more painful, those moments, than the whole Levaya and Kfura, watching Yankel, 5 years old, screaming through the hallways, looking through the bedrooms, mommy, mommy. And after a while, they realize that we have to just put him in the car and send him to Tante Rachel. So they just picked him up with his screaming and just put him in the car, and they drove him off to Tante Rachel. We sat down and started sitting shiva. And Yecheved, the older sister, saying over the story, said, I turned to my father, or our father, and I said, Wie kann das sein? I asked my father, how could this be? Von jener Tränen, for the tears of Yankel are screaming and crying, mommy, is nicht gewen atchias ameisim in the geula? Those tears had to pierce Shemayim. How is it possible we're still sitting over here without atchias ameisim after those painful cries of Yankel? This is what I asked my father. And she said, can you imagine my father? He just lost his wife. He has a house full of 7 Yisoyimim. You can imagine the load that he's carrying. And this is what I asked him. But this is what I asked him. My father, she said, our father, was a Oiska Abaga. He was a worked out Navarri Kahid, very strong individual. He said back to me, Yecheved, you think we cry for nothing? You think Hashem throws tears in the garbage? Every tear, Tuzayf, every tear goes up and does something. It brings results. Whether you see it or you don't see it, you have to know that every tear counts. Every tefillah counts. Every cry is going someplace. Nothing goes to the garbage. This is what my father told me. Fast forward, she continued in her drasha, 20 years later, Yankel is now 25 years old. His family, it sounds a little bit Hasidish. He was in the market a very long time. He's an Elter Bachar already. Probably supposed to get married at 18, 19, who knows. He was an Elter Bachar, like she described. He was having a hard time in Shaduchim. They were reading him a grusha v'chalutz l'kayin hedget. That's what she said over. Mamash, can you imagine what they were reading him in Shaduchim? All of a sudden, a shidduch came his way. A not shaykh girl was read to him. Mamish, unbelievable, with every maila, a young girl, with every maila, toiro gedula b'makam echad, money, fame, everything, mamish, every maila possible. And he became a chosin to this kala. They got married, Yankel got married, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. They married 2 months. It's Erev Menachemov, Yudala Menachemov. And Yankel tells his Kala's wife, who's married 2 months, tonight I'm at home for supper. Tonight I have Yortzeit. Who's Yortzeit? My mother's Yortzeit tonight. And we're getting together, a Sudas Yortzeit, with a seeing with my brothers. I'm not going to be home for supper tonight. She says, really? Shoots. I said, what's the matter? I said, tonight's my birthday. I said, oh really, tonight's your birthday? Okay, Beis Hashem will celebrate your birthday tomorrow. This is what he tells her. And he's thinking to himself, her birthday. He calls up his sister, Yankel calls up his older sister, Yecheved, and he says, you know, Yecheved, my wife's birthday is on mommy's yahrzeit. It's just so strange. All of a sudden, Yecheved gets a flashback from a father saying, Yecheved, you think tears go for nothing? Every tear brings results. Every tefillah brings results. Hashem doesn't throw anything in the garbage. And she hears the voice echoing in her voice. She says, Yankel, could you go check your wife's birth certificate? I want to know exactly when she was born. And sure enough, he looks at the birth certificate. And it was during those moments when Yankel was screaming through the hallways as a 5-year-old boy, mommy, mommy! Hashem orchestrated, his wife was born, and this was the Moiridika Kala that he was zeicha to, that he lived, Baruch Hashem, with a Moiridika marriage. It was for those tears, at that moment, a 5-year-old, when his father said, tears don't go for nothing, and the Rabbi Hashem orchestrated that his Kala was born, and this is what he married. But the story doesn't end there. This past Tisha B'Av, and Avraham Mordechai Malach, who said over this story, after he heard it from his sister, he was saying it over. So they put this recording on one of the, you know, speeches that they have. Today they have so much available. On Tisha B'Av, people could call in a certain organization. They were playing this story from Avraham Mordechai Malach, this whole maisa that I just told you. They say 20,000 people called in to hear this story. That was the organization said they had 20,000 calls on this maisa. Avraham Mordechai Malach, after the summer, came home and he's going through his mail, the pile up the shemayim of mail. And he opens up a letter. There was a letter there. An 18-year-old girl wrote a letter. Chvoid Avraham Mordechai Malach. I don't really have a mother. Although my mother was not nefteres. But she's in bed, sick, totally dysfunctional, disabled. And I have to be honest, I'm carrying the whole load of our family. My father does everything he can, but he's only a human being. And he needs my help. I have 5 brothers who need mommy, and she's not available. I can't describe the hardship and the pain that I'm going through. My sister carried the load until now, but she got married 2 months ago. I moved away to Eretz Yisrael. And I have to carry the load myself now. I was sitting on Tisha B'Av on the floor, crying for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And I must be honest, she wrote, I think I was crying more for my own Churban, my own pain and suffering that I'm going through. I needed some chizuk. I turned to the Rabbeinu Shalom and I said, Rabbeinu Shalom, are you really with me? Am I carrying this on my own? Show me a sign, Hashem, that you're with me. Show me a sign that I'm not alone in this. It's bo mayim anofes, I can't do it anymore. Please show me a sign that you're with me. Not too much after, the phone rang. And it was this organization leaving a message advertising the ability to call in this phone number. So I decided, you know, I need some chizuk, let me call on the phone line. I called the phone line and I listened to the story that you said over about your own life. And I was able to relate to it so much. When you were describing how your five-year-old brother screaming mommy, I was thinking about my five brothers running through always asking for mommy. And mommy's not available, she's not here. And every little detail of your story, I was able to relate to it in such a personal way. And here comes the bomb. When you said over, you told your father, how could it be all those tears don't bring down the geula? How are you not zeichet the tchias ameisim already? And your father responded, Yoicheved, you think tears are go for nothing? You think Hashem throws the tears in the garbage? Every tear makes a difference. Hashem hears it all. My name is also Yoicheved. She wrote in the letter. And I heard Hashem speaking to me, telling me, Yoicheved, you think the tears go for nothing? You think I don't hear everything that you're going through? And she wrote to him, 53 years later, from when your story happened, when your father, Zecharonu Livracha, said to your sister, Yocheved, nothing goes for nothing. 53 years later, here on Tisha B'Av, I got the chizuk that I heard your father speaking to me, Yocheved, the Rebbeinu Shlom giving me a message that I'm with you. This is a Moiridika Maisa, how the Rabbeinu Shalom, only Avarachamim, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Avinu Shabbashamayim, could orchestrate such a thing. And here's a girl, Yocheved, who needed such desperate chizuk. And Hashem made her listen to a recording of Mama speaking to Yocheved, giving her that chizuk. If we would just realize here today what it means, Avinu Shabbashamayim, what it means that we have a father in Shamayim waiting to hear from us, we would be jumping in the morning out of bed to come to davening, the opportunity to talk to Avinu Shabbashamayim. We just don't realize the opportunity that lies in our hands. We don't know what it means, Avinu Shabbashamayim. This is something we have to think about and realize every little thing in my life, I could change it all if I would just open up my mouth and talk them in tefillah. To really daven. And this is the words of the Navi, which we know of in Nevuah, is L'dayrus. In Malachim Beis, Perichof, Koy Omar Hashem, so says the Rabbeinu Shloilam, Shamati es tefilo secha, I hear your tefilo. Re'isi es dimosecha, I see your tears. Hineni roifei loch, I'm going to heal you. We have to realize every single one of us, in whatever we need healing, whatever difficulty we have, whatever challenge, whatever we find hard, we need healing. If we talk to the Rabbeinu Shlom in tefillah, hineni roifei loch, I'm ready to heal you. The Rabbeinu Shlom is just waiting us to start davening for real and talking to him. It's very late. There's so much to talk about in davening. It will have to be mamshach b'neder. Just one point that I just want to add in. Davening begins with Psuka de Zimra. Psuka de Zimra is not extra credit. Based on what Rav Aaron Kugel is telling us, if tefillah, the ma'isa tefillah, is the ma'isa that we do to internalize all our foundations of our recognition, Psuka de Zimra is where we announce all that hakara, all that recognition. Psuka de Zimra, it's unlimited. You know, you go through Psuka de Zimra, like, there's just unlimited examples. The whole Psuka de Zimra, all it is, everything, it's one pasuk after the next, announcing 100% recognition how the Rabbeinu Shalom does it all. It's like, you turn page after page. You know, I can't even give you all the examples here. It's just, every page is 10 examples. The point is that throughout Psuka de Zimra, and you need time to say Psuka de Zimra properly, throughout Psuka de Zimra, we see the recognition, the hakara, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is a run that runs the world. He does it all. Everything we have is from him. And it's Psuka de Zimra that we have the ability to internalize all these yesaidas. And that's why we need the Psuka de Zimra before our davening, before our Shemayna Esrei. And the truth is, it's brought down in Zohar HaKadosh, in Parashas Vayishlach, that the secret of your tefillah being mikubal, Hashem accepting your tefillah, is toluy in Psuka de Zimra. He writes, "Boyi barnash l'shabcha lein l'kutch brichu." Every human being has to praise Hashem. Umadiyod l'shabcha l'kutch brichu kudiyoyis. If you know how to praise Hashem properly, then kutch brichu kabbal tzloise. Then Hashem accepts your tefillah v'sheiz of Lord. He saves you. The Kabbalah satfila is toluy in Psuka de Zimra. I always say over Basel Vachfogel, the Lake of Mashkiach, someone asked him, my davening is not going. I'm not, you know, it's hard to daven. I need some help in my davening. So Basel Vachfogel said over, he told this person, "Fun bet to Psuka de Zimra is geitnish." Means from your bed to Baruch Sha'amah, of course it's not going to go. You can't jump out of bed half asleep and start Baruch Sha'amah. It doesn't work. I'm not saying you have to come to 7:30 Kailah, but the point is that you can't just jump into your davening. You have to give yourself a few minutes to focus on what I'm about to do. From your bed to Baruch Sha'amah is geitnish. Even Psuka de Zimra needs a hachana to prepare for that. Someone just showed me a Murray de Kamaisa, and we'll end with this. There was a young man in Yerushalayim, so you call him Naftali, who was making a Shabbos bris. And he was walking on the way to the bris with his parents. And they bumped into Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So he figured, you know, Shlomo Zalman, let me get a bracha from Shlomo Zalman Orbach before we go to the bris. Shlomo Zalman looked, he was taken back. He knew, they knew each other personally. And Shlomo Zalman looked very disturbed and taken back from bumping into him. And he realized Shlomo Zalman was so upset because he was looking how the baby's parents, the baby's saying grandparents, this Naftali's parents, they were schlepping all the bags and carrying everything for the bris. And Naftali himself, the father of the child, had nothing in his hands. Like, they're schlepping. So he realized what bothered Shlomo Zalman. So he started explaining himself, "I'm machmir not to use the Eiriv. So even though it's a kosher Eiriv, my parents use the Eiriv. So that's why my parents are schlepping the bags and I'm not carrying anything." This is what he told Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman still looked very upset. He pushed, couldn't understand. A chumrah of not using the Eiriv? Respect for your parents is a deraisa. So you're being machmir on something, but being over a deraisa doesn't make any sense. A few days later, Shlomo Zalman, when he's giving a shmooze in yeshiva, when he was Rosh Yeshiva, in Kol Torah, he devoted his entire shir, his entire shmooze, to this story, obviously without saying the guy's name, but he devoted his entire shmooze, how a person could mistakenly think he's doing something good, and in fact, he's doing something totally wrong and making a grave mistake with the Issa Dereisa of Kibud Av V'Aim. I'd like to add, in regard to what we're talking about, it's the same idea. Anybody who stays in Beis Medrash a minute after Seder, and he thinks he's being frum, and he's being a musman, and he's sitting and learning, and steiging, and growing. If you come after 7:45 to Shacharis, you're being a shaita. You're being machmer on something that's ridiculous. A deraisa tefillah you're killing for what? You're being machmer on the Erev, being over kibud av v'aim? That's what you're doing. If Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wouldn't be proud of you. If you can't be in davening on time at 7:45, you have no head to stay after 10:50. Go to sleep earlier so you can come on time. Don't be frum on a deraisa dekecheshvin. This is Dvarim Pshutim. There's a lot to talk about, but it's very late. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should help us all be mechazik in tefillah, making our davening real, connect to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And with that, Be'ez Hashem, we zeicha to all the bracha and hatzlacha.